Hello, welcome to our broadcast. I'm Mark Rumfellow, and I pastor Grace Believers Bible Church, and our church brings you this broadcast of Under the Radar. And I want to thank you for joining me today, and hopefully this will establish a long-time relationship together between us now that you've tuned in. I know we've had those that have been watching us for some time, and I thank you for joining us. Our goal here is a teaching-based thought process, meaning that we want to teach you the Word of God. We don't have a music program to present to you. We don't have collections that we make of you and market you. We just bring you the Word of God, rightly divided, and present it to you so that you can understand God's Word better than you ever had before. In order to do that, we use a King James Bible. And if you have one, I would encourage you to get it. And as you're watching the broadcast, turn to the pages and the scriptures that I refer to. Also, maybe have a pen and paper handy and write down the scriptures as we go through and take notes. And go back on your free time and reread and restudy those things. And it'll help you understand some things because, quite honestly, in the 20-something minutes that I have here, it's very difficult to lock in everything at once. So, once again, thank you for joining me. And today I'd like to discuss with you a thought that the Apostle Paul had and presented to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So, once again, if you have your Bible, turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul wrote something here that I'd just like to kind of base my message on today. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And in verse 4 he says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." It's interesting to note that as Paul would go from city to city, in his early ministry there, he would go to the synagogue of the Jews. And he would go in there and start preaching the gospel, which was in the Old Testament scriptures about Jesus Christ dying for our sins, paying the price for our sins in death, and being buried and raised again the third day. And by belief in this man, you can have your sins forgiven. And that's what he preached in the synagogues. And so consequently, a group of people, usually Jews and Greeks that were assembled in those synagogues, they would believe. And the unbelievers would force Paul out of the synagogue, wouldn't accept them in there. They didn't want to hear about this Jesus and on, so they would get them out. So Paul would have a small church established in the city that he preached the gospel there. Then he would meet with them and study and give classes, so to speak, in the Word of God to those that were believers. And so, consequently, Paul then would leave that city and go to another city. Well, what happened here at Corinth is, as Paul left, you had some people come in after Paul. And what did they do? He addressed it in verse 4. He says, "If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." So when he left, there were men coming in teaching contrary to what he taught. And so they'd come in, he said, you might well bear with them. In other words, to bear with them isn't a tolerate them. They have freedom of speech. They can come in your assembly and they can speak what they want to speak. That's not what he meant when he said, you might well bear with them. When he said, you might well bear with them, It's like a bearing up. It's like something that's going to fall, and you run over to it, and you grab it to keep it from falling and destroying something, and you bear it up. You pressing against it. He's telling them to press against it, resist it, reject it. And so they would come in there and do that. But here's the problem. Though there were those Corinthians that didn't bear up to them, that did hear the preaching of another Jesus, did receive another spirit, did receive another gospel. And so Paul addresses them, and he says in verse 3, we're in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And so there's a simplicity associated with Jesus Christ today. And I like simple things. I've done things the hard way, and I've done things a simple way, and simplicity is very impressive to me, particularly when it comes with my relationship with God. If my relationship with God is established on what Jesus Christ did for me and my belief in Jesus Christ, that's simple. That's a simple plan that God has in Christ Jesus. However, there are those out there today that tells you it can't be that easy. I know. I watch them on television. They stand in the pulpit and they tell you, you must do such and such and such and such, else you can't be saved. And what they present is something that's not simple. For instance, many people today, and you may be watching this broadcast and be under this mindset, that keeping the law is what you must do to be saved. To get to heaven, you must keep the law. Now, most people don't realize that the law that Moses received in Exodus chapter 20 contains over 600 commands. Most people are taught to believe in the Ten Commandments. Well, there are 10, with about 590 more. But nobody knows about the 590 more. You see, the law was a book. It's the book of the law from Moses. It was a thick book, and it contained all the law of Moses and what the children of Israel had to do concerning that law. And so, consequently, that was given in Exodus chapter 20. The beginning of the giving of the law was in Exodus 20. Now, before we started the broadcast, I'd gone to the board and I pre-wrote some things there. So I want to just point out on the board that on the left side, your left there, I have Exodus chapter 20. And then I have the X representing that point in time. So basically what this is going to be is like a time chart, a rudimentary time chart, however, but it's a time chart nonetheless. So consequently, Exodus 20 is the giving of the law. The law was in place. The law was established. The law was taught by Moses, and the children of Israel were under the constraints of keeping the law. Now, it's interesting to note that if you fast forward time and you go to the time of the appearing of Jesus Christ in Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to Matthew chapter 5. And would like to see what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5. Now remember, the thought is the simplicity that is in Christ. However, as back in the day of Paul and today, people are taught you must do something for your salvation. And so I want to show you that one of the things that we don't have to do is keep the law. However, from the giving of the law, as the board shows, in Exodus 20, Moses was given the law. It came right down the line. So on the board here, once again, it goes over to Matthew chapter 5. The second X represents that event. Jesus Christ beginning his ministry. So in Matthew chapter 5, we want to see what the Lord had to say about the law. In verse 17, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." In other words, don't give it any thought. If you think I've come here to destroy the law of the prophets, he said, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So he did not destroy the law of prophets. But the next verse, verse 18, gets even better. He says in verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, then I know that at Matthew chapter 5, the law was in place at least until heaven and earth pass. For until that time, the Lord said, not one jot, not one tittle of the law shall pass. Jot and tittles are part of the Hebrew writings. In other words, they're very minuscule. They're just an ink dot here, a little crossing there. They're very small writings in the Hebrew law. He said, I've not even come in to fool with the jot of the tittles of the law, let alone the law itself. So I know in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ didn't do away with the law. So what does your fundamental Christian teach today, your preacher? He teaches, well, at the cross, the law was done away with. Well, it couldn't have been by Jesus Christ preaching. For Jesus Christ preaching says, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall anywise pass from the law. Well, when Christ died on the cross, heaven and earth did not pass. And from my understanding, unless I've missed the big event, heaven and earth hasn't passed yet. So the law should be in place according to the preaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5. But that's not what Paul said. In Colossians, he makes this bold statement. In Colossians chapter 2, and once again, I do hope you have your Bible, because it helps out so much to be able to turn to these things and read them on your own. If not, I'm glad you're tuned in. But make note of these verses as we go through them. Now watch what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So Paul's preaching that the cross was taken out of the way. Heaven and earth did not pass. You know, it ought to be dawning on someone here that it's a good thing that the law is removed. I mean, when you consider the law, you had sacrifices that had to take place. You had certain types of sacrifices. You had certain types of sacrifices that took place in certain days, in certain months, certain times of the seasons. Do you know what they are? Because remember, the law is not Ten Commandments. It's a book. In other words, if an individual under the law transgressed the law, and sin is the transgression of the law, they should face condemnation. However, within that book of the law, there were offerings they could offer for the atonement of their sins. So let me ask you, if you think keeping the law is how you get to heaven, how do you do a sacrifice? How do you present a sacrifice? When do you present it? What do you present? Not only that, let's go to Exodus 35 and read something interesting about the law in Exodus 35. In Exodus 35, verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that you should do them. Now here's a command that the Lord has given. In verse 2 of Exodus 35, 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. You couldn't gather sticks and you couldn't kindle a fire. You couldn't work. I jokingly tell my congregation that this is the first accounting of a couch potato, because on the Sabbath day, basically, you rested. You laid up. You did nothing. If you did, what did he say at the end of verse 2? Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. And there is an account of a young man that went out on the Sabbath to gather wood for a fire, and the elders found out about it, were notified and brought before the elders. They found him guilty and they stoned him to death. This isn't just, well, if you want to do it, you can. If you don't, it's okay. It's a command. It's a command of God. So if you think keeping the law is going to get you to heaven, then try that thing on the Sabbath. And let me tell you something. Back in the day, when he said, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation on the Sabbath day, I want you to understand how detrimental that is to a family of Israel at that time. Think about fire. Fire was essential for cooking. You don't have fire, you don't cook. Fire was essential for light, illumination at night. Fire was essential for heat. Fire was used in warfare. They burned cities down. Fire then is like your utilities coming into your home, whether it's electric, gas, phone, computer. It was the exact same thing. Now imagine taking a day where you have nothing powered up in your house. Think about it midsummer when the air conditioner don't go on and you go, well, I'll run the fan. No, you can't. Electricity is fire. During the winter, well, I'll run my gas heater. No, you won't. Gas is fire. Well, I'll just sit back and watch the game. No, you won't. Once again, electricity. You can't do anything. So who's keeping the Sabbath today? Are you instructed to keep the Sabbath? Because I know there's a certain group out there that claims they do. My point in this is this. There was a time when salvation before a holy God was difficult, was hard in keeping the law. And many people fell by the wayside under the law. And that law was in place in Exodus 20. That law remained in place through the ministry of Jesus Christ, who said it's going to remain in place until the passing of heaven and earth. However, this man Paul is raised up. He's not with the 12. This apostle is separate. He is the 13th. So then, Paul gets raised up. Paul gets a ministry given unto himself. And there's something else that comes from Paul, and it's not the law. He said that the law, which was the handwriting of ordinances, which was contrary to us, was taken out of the way. Now, why do you think he put in there contrary to us? Contrary is something that's totally opposite of something. Something, you know, the north is contrary to the south, the east contrary to the west. Well, if we're looking to be presented before God holy, and that's our desire, then the law would be contrary to it. You say, well, how could you do that? I thought keeping the law would be upright. What about when you break the law? What about when you don't even know the law? Because I know I'm talking to someone right now. You didn't even know Exodus 35, and you had no clue what was in it about the Sabbath day. Oh, you've heard keep the Sabbath. You had no idea what was involved in keeping the Sabbath, did you? So how are you going to keep it? How do you keep it? It's contrary to us. Paul said that the Lord took the law when he was on the cross, and it was nailed to the cross. It was contrary, and took it out of the way. You know what else is in the law? Washing. Literally washing. It was mainly, not solely, mainly for the priest. The priest, before they would do their priestly duties in the tabernacle, had to wash their flesh. You know what's interesting about that? That's part of the law. And then when you get to the New Testament writings, they don't use wash anymore. That word, wash, in the Old Testament, as you go into the New Testament, is changed. And guess what word they use instead of wash? They use baptism, to be baptized. It's washing. The same thing as the law. That's why when John was baptizing in the River Jordan, did you ever consider where he ever got the idea to baptize? I mean, you think he just sat there and go, what should I do to show people that they're Christians? I know, I'll put them in water. No. He's doing exactly as the law instructed. And so consequently, Jesus Christ, who became a high priest in and of himself, what did he have to do? He had to be washed. I know an individual, he was asking his brother-in-law, who was a religious man that baptized, and my friend asked him, well, why did Jesus Christ get baptized? And he said, well, to wash away his sins. Well, just how ignorant is that? Jesus Christ had no sins. So why would he have to be baptized? Because it's part of the law. And you had to be obedient to it. So Jesus Christ was obedient. Part of the law. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Once again, you have your Bible. Join me there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see what Paul says here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, we're going to start kind of in the middle of a topic here, just for time's sake. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So all of a sudden, baptism jumps up in the next verses. Watch this. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, thus the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ sent me not to baptize. Do you realize the law was in place since Exodus chapter 20? And it included washing or baptism. Jesus Christ said, the law ain't going to be taken away till heaven and earth pass. So it was established, and it's not till you get to Paul's writings that you find out that God, for our sake, took the law out of the way. Why? It was contrary to us. So what did he do? He took the law out of the way that brought condemnation to us and put the Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ, in its place by dying for our sins, taking the law out of the way, paying the price for our sins, being buried and raised again the third day. And that's the good news. That's the gospel today. It's not keeping the law. It's not living right, doing right. You can't do it. You think you're the first hot potato to come along and try to live right and do right for God? They've all gone by the wayside. The only one that ever did it for God Almighty was His Son Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's the first and only one that was completely and totally obedient to God Almighty. You can't do that. So God had a substitute in our place to die for our sins. And He took the payment of our sins. He took the punishment of our sins. He took the condemnation of our sins. And He died for our sins, was buried, but He was an innocent man. Therefore, God Almighty raised Him up the third day and set Him at His own right hand. So all you have to do today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you're going to tell me, oh, that's too simple. There's no other route for you. Every other route is a spiritual dead end. You're going to wind up falling off into hell is what you're going to do. I'm not going to hell. Why? Because I'm good? No. Because I have a Savior and I trusted Jesus Christ. Say, well, if I believe that, I'd just go out and commit all the sins I wanted to commit. You're going to do it anyway. You're going to do it anyway. You telling me you trust in Jesus Christ who loved you unto His death and that's going to promote you to go out and commit sin? You're a sick individual. That's really what that promotes you to? If you had a child and that child ran out on the highway and your neighbor saw it and ran out and grabbed that child in front of a car, threw the child in a ditch and that individual was hit and killed, you wouldn't have appreciation for what he did? Why wouldn't you have appreciation for the Lord who died and paid the price for your sins? Oh, if I believed that way, I'd go out and sin. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something you've never done before. You didn't believe that way before and you went out and committed sin. So why don't you believe this way? What is that? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again. My friends, that is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's a simple thing to be saved today. It's not deep. It's not dark. It's not complex. It is very simple to trust in Jesus Christ. Why? He paid it all. He died for all of our sins. So it is a done deal. The law is gone. It's taken out of the way. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ and would like to let us know, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us, give us a call and tell us. If you've seen something that is encouraging, that built you up spiritually, give us a call and just let us know that. I want to thank you. Our time has flown by. We've got to move on. Join us next week. Until then, good day.